Hi, welcome to the Renew Ministries Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Pam Otten. For more information about Renew Ministries, please visit us on Facebook at Renew Ministries Sheboygan.
Tonight is the other half of Hebrews 12, and this is the beginning. Our call to worship was more on the end, but this is starting with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This next section is entitled, God Disciplines His Children. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he loves us, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and love and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. The next section is titled Warning and Encouragement. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So tonight, we're going to wrap up, and you may cheer if you want, it's okay. We're going to wrap up the sermon series on building God's kingdom that started, I looked back, beginning of April, had a few weeks where we did some other things, but this has been going on since the beginning of April. So we learned that the books of Ezra and Nehemiah have events that happened in a recurring cycle. We saw certain things that happened over and over and over again. And the cycle was one of returning, right? The exiles returning to the holy city, Jerusalem. It was one of rebuilding. Right? What did they build first? Who remembers what they built first? There were three things that they built. What did they build first? The altar? The altar. What did they build second? You only have two choices left. Come on. The temple. And then they built the walls, right? So exactly the opposite of what our human nature would want to do, right? We would want to build the protection first. And then, maybe build the altar and then build the temple last once we had the protection in place. But that's not what God told them to do. So returning, rebuilding, there was a lot of repenting that went on, right? There was a lot of repenting that went on when they were convicted of their sin. And there also was renewing. So once they repented of their sin, then they renewed their covenant agreement with God. Tonight I'm going to remind you, this is going to be like a highlight reel, so I want you to all be so excited like you would be if you were watching the sports highlight reel, right? What would you do if you were watching the sports highlight reel? You would be like so into it, so energized, so that's what I expect tonight. And the reason is it's so important for us to, you know, this is really basic stuff. It's basic building blocks of how to build God's kingdom instead of what our human nature wants to do, which is to build our own kingdom. This is stuff that if we don't get and we don't get right, we're going to get off the path that God wants us on very quickly. So I really felt it was important to just do a highlight reel of all these weeks. And I promise you, this is not going to be an hour-long sermon. Okay, so the first week was Ezra 1. That was called When God Speaks, He Moves. And in Ezra 1, God moved King Cyrus's heart to allow them to go and rebuild. So he moved, not only did he move King Cyrus's heart, he moved others to go and do it. So when God speaks, he fulfills his word by moving hearts to action, right? To accomplish his word. God still speaks to us today. Yes, he does. Through many different ways. And he will always confirm his word to us. Always, always, always. That's how you know it's from God. He will always confirm it to you. God moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to allow the exiles to return and to rebuild Jerusalem. And he also moved, as I said, the hearts of the exiles to go back. So the Lord is speaking and moving today, still, on behalf of Renew Ministries to build his kingdom. Ezra 2 and 3, beating down fear. In these chapters, we see the rebuilding of the altar, the first thing that they rebuilt. And we also see that they became fearful of man, fearful of the people around them. So how should we respond to fear, to anxiety, to confusion? How do you respond when the world comes at you or the spiritual forces of the enemy are attacking you? We have to be those who respond by worshiping God. That has to be our first response. When you respond to fear and other things like that by worshiping, you are declaring, you are celebrating God's power to protect you. In other words, I can't do it on my own, God, but I know you can do it because you are all powerful. And you also are holding up the standard of God's truth, which overcomes the lies of the enemy. The safest place that you can be when you are afraid, when you are anxious, when you are confused, is to be obediently worshiping God. Ezra 3 and 4, we will not be shaken. In these chapters, we see the rebuilding of the temple and, of course, right, recurring, more opposition to rebuilding. It's really important for us here at Renew Ministries to be aware of the enemy's tactics as we work to build this ministry. Because let's face it, it's going to happen. It has already happened in certain ways, and we do not want to be shaken. One of the reasons that many Christians become stuck and ineffective in their callings is because they are unaware, completely oblivious to what the enemy's tactics are. So here are some of the enemy's tactics that we talked about to try and stop the word of God. Attacking right after a victory. How many times does that happen? You get on a spiritual high and all of a sudden, boom, the enemy is right there to tell you that it really didn't happen. Infiltration through compromise. Oh, it's okay if you just do that little thing. That's not going to hurt anything. It won't change anything. Infiltration through false teaching, right? False teaching appearing real and true. Psychological warfare, getting in your head, bringing fear and discouragement. persistent attacks and temptations that occur over and over and over again. Deception, because we know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren and the father of lies. Slander and gossip, slandering God, slandering us, slandering other people. So we need to be prepared for enemy attacks, because when the spirit starts moving, the enemy gets mad. And I could use a stronger word, but I won't. He gets mad. He gets mad. And he will do anything and try and come at a ministry. He will look for the weak points and he will go at it with persistence that we never manage to show. So we need to develop discernment so that we understand what is happening and so that we can say, oh no, 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 not on our watch. Ezra 5 and 6, kingdom building success. More opposition to rebuilding the temple, yet it also was the completion and the dedication of the temple. So kingdom building success. What is kingdom building success? It requires three things to happen. It requires that we believe the word of God. We have to first believe the word of God, right? It requires that we not only believe it, but that we obey it. And it requires, and this is where many of us fall down, it requires that you don't give up. How simple is that, right? So many people, and this goes for anything in this world, right? You can fail your way to success, but if you keep on giving up, then you're not going to be successful. God will build his church. And we will not give up, because what we will do through Renew Ministries has eternal consequences for the lost and for the people that the Lord is sending us to. If we feel discouraged or confused or afraid or whatever it might be, recognize, of course, that it is the enemy, but remember that we do not give up, because it is going to be the difference between heaven and hell for the people that the Lord is sending us to. Ezra 7, we can change the world. This is when Ezra comes to Jerusalem to teach the scriptures. Here's the most effective strategy. If you want to change the world, this is the most effective strategy. It starts by knowing God. You have to know God. So how do you do that? You study the Bible. You study the Bible. You study the Bible. That has to happen first. You do the Bible. In other words, do what it says. Be obedient to do what it says. And then you need to teach the Bible. In other words, you know it, you do it, you experience it, and then you're able to teach it to others. That's how you change the world. Ezra 8, God, you're so good. This is when the families return with Ezra. And this is the week that we had the interview with Reverend Al Bruce. So the exiles returning to Jerusalem, if you remember, they were very concerned about their safety on the way getting there. And this is from Ezra 8. The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. So they humbled themselves. They fasted and they prayed. And God answered their prayer. Ezra 9 and 10, loving God from the inside out. This is when the Israelites were sinning by intermarriage, by marrying with the idolatrous neighbors that were around them. Sin is really painful. It's painful not only for us, but also for the other people that are affected by our sin. We do the same things over and over and over again. Sin has serious consequences as well. We will be held accountable for everything that we do. Everything will be revealed on Judgment Day. And even if it's not revealed here in this life, maybe you managed to keep your sin, some of your sins secret. Maybe nobody ever knows, but God knows, and it's going to be revealed on Judgment Day, and it's going to be public. So sin will keep us from God's blessings. Because when we sin, we are cutting ourselves off from the blessings that God wants to do in us. Thank God for his mercy, because he saved the Israelites, and he will save us too. So we surrender ourselves to God, and we repent of our sin. Nehemiah 1, verse 1 and 2. Do something. This is Scott's favorite thing. Do something. Nehemiah asked the king to rebuild the walls. If you remember, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. And so he had a close relationship with the king. He was a very trusted advisor of the king. And he went to the king, and the king said, "Why are you look so sad?" And he said to him, "The holy city is in ruins." And he asked him for permission to rebuild the walls. So do something. Study the Bible so that you know Scripture. Pray. Ask God to do what he says in Scripture. If you don't know what to pray, pray Scripture. And then plan. Nehemiah had a plan. We know that he had been planning that trip back to Jerusalem because he knew exactly what to ask the king for when he had the opportunity. So plan by listening to God for what he wants you to do. And then do something. Do something. Anything. Take a little step. Take a big step. Do something. Do something to begin the work. And then teach and lead others to do the same. It's our job to be good recruiters, right? Nehemiah was a great recruiter. He recruited lots of people to come back, as a lot of the exiles in Babylon, to come back with him to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah 3 and 4, God will fight for us. This is the time where they were building the wall, and of course, there was opposition. So be a leader with valor. In other words, show great courage in the face of danger and battle. Give it to God and ignore opposition. In other words, when opposition comes, give it to God. Give it to him. Speak to God about it, not them. And Nehemiah did another thing. He took appropriate action. If you remember, he placed guards all around the walls. Men were building the walls with one hand and holding a sword in the other as they built the wall. So he took appropriate action to be prepared if they were attacked. Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. And in this case, God just simply frustrated the plans of the enemies. He just frustrated them. And that was enough to stop them. So we live for something bigger than ourselves. We live for something bigger than ourselves. That's why we're on this earth. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. So that God can accomplish what he has called you to do. Nehemiah 5, how to honor God. In this chapter, we see how Nehemiah helps the poor. If you remember that the people that were working on rebuilding the walls were not able to properly attend their property. So in other words, they weren't able to tend their crops, their animals, or the things that they needed to do to support their family because they were building the wall. So they ended up mortgaging their properties. They ended up borrowing money to pay their taxes for the king. And then in return, they were being charged interest for the money that they were borrowing. They were actually selling their children into slavery because they were so desperate. So Nehemiah, he acted justly. He honored God in their financial practices by stopping all of this craziness that was going on. He made it a lot more equitable. He stopped the charging interest. He said, "We are not going to sell our children into slavery anymore. And we are going to make it so that the people that are building the wall are being supported." So act justly. Love mercy. Do unto others as you would have them do for you. In this case, it's pretty clear what you would rather have done for you, right? So they should have known what was the right thing to do, but they didn't do it. So do unto others as you would have them do for you. Walk humbly with God. In other words, use what you have to promote the will of God instead of you. right? That's walking humbly, putting God first, not yourself. Be a blessing to others, and you will be blessed. Nehemiah 6 and 7, perseverance to the end. More opposition to rebuilding the walls, if you can believe it. So in Nehemiah 6 and 7, we see difficulties that come out as distractions and discouragement. And we need discernment to recognize, just like the enemy's tactics, right? We need discernment to recognize it, and so we know what to do. So in this case, the outlying neighbors were trying to distract Nehemiah by saying, you need to come and meet with us. In other words, to interrupt him from his work. And of course, he wanted them to meet with him far away, outside of Jerusalem, probably so they could kill him. So the discernment, now Nehemiah was just like, really? I'm doing a great project for God. I think that's a good line. I think we'll have to use that in the future. When someone says, no, you should be doing this, we'll say, I'm doing a great project for God right here. Distraction, another distraction was these neighbors got really mad because he wasn't going to meet with them, right? So they said, you know, we're just going to report to the king. We're going to report to the king how rebellious you are because you are not cooperating with us. And you, therefore, you must be doing something that's rebellious. So Nehemiah's discernment was, well, you know, he knew it, right? It's not true. I'm not rebellious. I have permission from the king to do this. I'm not rebellious. So it's easy then to just ignore your opposition. But not only did he just ignore what they were saying to him, but what did he say? He said, Lord, strengthen my hands. Strengthen our hands to do the work that you've called us to do. Now, when's the last time that you said something like that to the Lord when somebody is in opposition to you? Right? Your inclination, or I'll own this, my inclination would be to say, you know, to argue with them, to do, you know, just say, you know, you know, to their face, you don't know what they're talking, what you're talking about, and cause all kinds of distraction. Instead of just saying to God, you take care of it and you strengthen my hand so I can do the work that you called me to do. So when distraction didn't work, they tried that a couple times. Then they moved on into discouragement. Because, you know, if we can get them discouraged, surely they will stop building those walls. So they put it out there, we're coming to kill you, Nehemiah. You know, little underground intel, right? We're coming to kill you. You better run because we're coming to kill you. And Nehemiah's just like, why would I run away? This is my calling. This is what the Lord has told me to do, and I will be obedient. Trusting that the Lord is going to protect him because that's exactly where the Lord wanted him to be. And then they upped the ante one more time and they started writing intimidating letters. You know, letter after letter after letter, trying to intimidate him. How does Nehemiah respond? His discernment was, well, you know what? Let's just determine who really is God's people. So he did a census to gather all the people, circle the wagons, so to speak, so that they were all in support of each other. Nehemiah 8, choose joy. Choose joy. This is when Ezra came back and he read the law. The people repented, and then instead of having a time of weeping and wailing and all the things that they normally do when they repent, he said, oh no, we're celebrating. It's time for the festival of booths. So they celebrated. And in this chapter, a revival of concern for God's word, in other words, paying attention to what the Lord had told them to do, brought a revival of repentance. And a response of weeping opened the door to freedom to rejoice. I'm going to say that again. A response to God, a response to God, when you hear his word of weeping, opens the door to have freedom to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's verse 10 in chapter 8. Our strength is God's joy in saving us, restoring us, and protecting us. The people were made strong by the knowledge of God's joy for them. That's in verse 12. So receive the promises in God's word. Feel his joy for you and claim it as your strength. Nehemiah 9, God's economy of mercy and grace. This is when in Nehemiah 9, now the people are done celebrating, so now it's time to confess and repent. Now, if you remember, this was the week that Tyson and Sonia Weber came to give their testimony of God's mercy and grace in their lives. God's mercy and grace are free gifts that are available to anyone who accepts Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So, here's mercy. He does not give us what we deserve, which is what? What do we deserve? Eternal punishment in hell. He does not give us what we deserve. But he gives us grace. He gives us something that we do not deserve, eternal life in heaven. Nehemiah 10, how to find rest. We were just talking before the service about feeling that we need more rest. In Nehemiah 10, they renewed the covenant agreement. This is how you find rest. You make the Lord the main point of your life. Put God first in everything. Make him the point of your marriage. Make him the point of the Sabbath as evidence of your faith and your trust in his provision for you. It's not about being legalistic about don't do this or don't do that on the Sabbath. It's about trusting God that if you rest, he's going to take care of you. Make him the point of your worship. Do not neglect the house of God. And by that, I mean the temple that is within you, right? Do not neglect your own temple, and do not neglect the church either. Commit to the body of Christ. Nehemiah 11 and 12, God uses ordinary. This is when many more people came back and they were that were living outside of Jerusalem, right? Because they weren't living in Jerusalem at this time during the rebuilding. It wasn't safe. So they were living in outlying areas, and in Nehemiah 11 and 12, it was time for some of the people to move into Jerusalem. And it also was the dedication of the wall. So at that time, Jerusalem was where God was at work in the world. As unimpressive, as dangerous as it was, and how it seemed. But people put God's plan over their personal desires and agreed to go and live in Jerusalem. Even knowing that Jerusalem, even being the holy city, was going to be a point place to be attacked. Because it was with the concentration of people there, with all the resources that were there, it would be much more likely to be attacked than the outlying areas where there weren't as many people. God uses ordinary people, places, and things, yes, even us, right, to accomplish his extraordinary plans. God is still doing this today. He's still building churches made up of ordinary people, just like us, with normal lives, normal problems, just as he's done in the past. And finally, Nehemiah 13, come to the water. This is when Nehemiah cleanses the temple, enforces the Sabbath, and cleanses the people. The Israelites had the same struggles that we do with persistent sin. We saw it over and over and over again in Ezra and Nehemiah, that the people just kept on going back, doing the same things, the intermarriage, the idolatrous behavior. They just kept doing these things. So they had the same struggles that we do. And Nehemiah took some very extreme measures, if you remember, to make sure that the Israelites got back into a right relationship with God, because he knew what was at stake. God shows merciful love and kindness to us. I want you to think about this. When God confronts us in our sin, he's showing merciful love and kindness to us. When he convicts us by the Holy Spirit, he's showing merciful love and kindness to us. When he brings us to repentance, he's showing merciful love and kindness to us, so that we can get back into a right relationship with Him so that we can live out our destiny and our calling that He conceived for us even before we were born. So that night, if you remember, we came to the water to be refreshed, to be revived, and to allow the Lord to bless us. So I ask you, are you returning tonight? Are you rebuilding tonight? Are you repenting? Or are you renewing? Where are you at tonight? What of those things is the Lord asking you to do right now? I invite you to pray about that as we receive communion tonight. I think it's very fitting that at the end of this series, as we wrap up building God's kingdom, that we share the fellowship of communion together.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Renew Ministries Sermon of the Week. We pray that you've been inspired to live the life God has for you through this message. If you would like to connect with us, please reach out on our Facebook page. Just type in Renew Ministries Sheboygan in the search bar and send us a message. We would love to connect with you.